This morning's reading is from Romans 15, starting at verse 14. And you'll find that on pages 1142 of the Pew Bibles. So that's Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God. By what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I've completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I might come to you with joy, by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Well, we've just sung those words together. Great is the gospel of our glorious God. Great. Where mercy met the anger of God's rod, a penalty was paid and pardon bought, and sinners lost at last to him were brought. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's wonderful news. A dark world flamed with light. We should pull the blinds up, shouldn't we? Let the sun shine in. The impact of the gospel on us, on this world. God's move, God's action. We're nearing the end of Paul's great letter, which has majored on explaining the gospel. 11 chapters unpacking this gospel as he wrote to the church in Rome. It's good news of God's gracious salvation. And then he spent about 3.5 chapters bringing some quite condensed applications. If we understand the gospel, if we've come to believe the gospel, here's the difference it should make in church life. Here's the difference it should make in our relationships. We ended that last week with our love for each other. This is the impact the gospel should have in how we love each other sacrificially. But now as Paul starts to bring this letter into land, as it were, if it was a flight, we've gone up, we've travelled, and he's coming into land. As he does that, he shares his plans to visit the church in Rome. But even as he does that, he's still teaching them. And as we read it, as we listen in, this is still God's inspired word to us. There's things he's still teaching them and us. That the gospel isn't just to affect our internal relationships with each other, though it should do that. The gospel also should motivate us to mission, to take the gospel out into the world. And inspired by the Spirit of God, he shares with us four priorities. Four priorities the gospel should bring to us as a church. Four P's this morning. First is this: proclaiming the message. Firstly, the gospel is a message. That's what it means. It's good news. Something to share, something to announce, something to proclaim. And so the big priority of Paul's is that he shares this message. But look how he puts it in verse 16. Speaking of God, how God has called him to be a minister to the Gentiles, he says, "He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." What is a priest? A priest, as we read through the Bible, is somebody appointed by God to stand as a mediator, as a go-between between God and people, to bring sacrifices on their behalf. Even once a year, the high priests are going into the presence of God, because sinful people and a holy God can't mix. It's the problem of sin. And so a priest would stand in between. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came as the high priest. After he has come, no more priests are needed. He does that for us. He's the one who stands in between, bringing sinful people to a holy God. He's the perfect priest, the final priest, our high priest. So Paul isn't really a priest in that way. I'm not a priest in that way. When David leads us through communion later, he's not a priest in that way. You don't need a human being to mediate for you between you and God. No, Jesus has done that for us. But there is a sense, Paul says, in what he's doing in bringing this message that it's a priestly duty. He's bringing a message that the gospel through which the Gentile people, people who are outside of the people of God, can themselves become an offering acceptable to God as they trust in Jesus, as they're cleansed by him, as they're changed by the Holy Spirit, sanctified, as they obey God, as they offer their bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. The message Paul brings people to God. Earlier in the letter, the Apostle Paul said that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Or in chapter 10, he said, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be made right with God, brought close to God, into his family." So here's a really important question for you this morning. Have you understood the good news of Jesus? The gospel. If you understood it, you might know of Jesus. You might understand what churches get up to. But have you understood the good news message of Jesus that can bring you to God, that can make you right with God, bring you into relationship with God? Have you understood that? Have you believed it? Are you trusting that? For the sake of your soul for eternity. Nothing else can make you right with God. No good works, no money, no heritage, no friendship, no church attendance. Only through trusting in the Lord Jesus. Have you understood that? And are you believing? We've got lots of things that try to help with that in church life. Connect with Christianity. Midweek group. Connect with Christianity International. Lent course after Connect or Conversation Point on a Wednesday. Can I encourage you, if you're exploring, explore more, keep looking. Could this be true? This message that God should send his son to save us. And if you are believing, have you been baptized? That's the mark of believing. I do believe this. This is my public sort of statement of that fact. This is what I'm trusting in for salvation of my soul. We're working towards a baptism service after Easter sometime. Do speak to us if you think you need to get baptized to publicly declare, I'm trusting in Jesus, his death for me, his resurrection. Well, Paul's ministry of proclaiming this message, like the other apostles, was authenticated by signs and wonders. We read that as we work through the book of Acts. We see what happened. Signposting that the apostles were authentically working for God, just as Jesus was. His ministry also authenticated by signs and wonders. And so for Paul and the other apostles, it means that we can trust their teaching. What Paul says, we can trust, this is from the Lord. It's been authenticated by him. What's been written down, even here in the book of Romans, we can trust this. What he teaches us today. And Paul says, everywhere he's gone, he sought to share this message with the Gentiles. So look at verse 19. From Jerusalem, all the way round to, and it's quite tricky to say, isn't it? Emma, you nailed it, I think. But it's modern day Albania. That's a long way. You follow that on a map. From Jerusalem, all the way round the Mediterranean coast. To modern-day Albania, near to Croatia, which is becoming a trendy holiday hotspot some of you have been to. Apostle Paul travelled. And notice how he puts it, verse 19, I have fully proclaimed the gospel. I've shared this message. As we think about our mission as a church, we must see proclaiming this message as a priority. We have a message to share. How can people respond to God unless they hear? There's a message to share. There's words to be said. And it's been one of the great encouragements with our connections with Luke and Anya and Steiger and now Matthew and Vika that we prayed for earlier. Steiger are really serious about sharing that message. It's a message to proclaim. There's lots of things we might do as a church, lots of good things we ought to do as a church, but we must make sure we keep sharing that message. The gospel is a message that needs to be passed on. Secondly, second P, pioneering. Apostle Paul was pioneering in unreached places. Look at verse 20. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. So I'd not be building on someone else's foundation. Paul covered a lot of miles, as we've just said, Jerusalem to Albania. It's a lot of land. Several missionary journeys. And that was at a time when transport was very different to what it is today. But Paul was driven. He wanted to make sure he reached people who hadn't heard. Verse 21, quoting Isaiah 52, those who were not told about him will see. Those who've not heard will understand. Those who currently were unreached would be reached. You know, and that quote is taken from the great servant song, Isaiah 52 and 53. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, the one who would come and be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And it's in that passage about the Lord Jesus in Isaiah that there is this prophecy that those who haven't yet heard will hear. This message will be taken to them. It's what we've looked at in growth groups, isn't it, these last few weeks? God's mission to go out into the world to gather people to himself. Paul was driven to do that. A passion for those who he would describe as lost without the gospel. To go to places where there was no gospel witness. Now he tells others to build on the foundation. It's not that once it's been shared, it's then left. No, churches needed to be established. Paul was keen to make sure that happened. He helped to encourage people to do that, appoint elders to help steer and lead those churches. Think of what he wrote to Titus and Timothy. But his calling was to go to new places. You know, that drive, that call to be a pioneer, it even stopped him from going to Rome before now. Rome was an important place in those days. It was the capital of the empire. To have a church there was pretty strategic, pretty significant. The Apostle Paul had never been there because there was already a church there. And so there were times when perhaps he'd thought of going there, but then he'd heard, no, there's somewhere else more important to go where there isn't a church. I must go there instead. And even now as he plans to visit them, it's not an end in itself. Do you see that? Verse 23. He wants to get to Spain. But now there's no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and that you'll assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Spain, this is not holiday brochure stuff. It's not sort of picking out Rome, Spain. How lovely. No, he sees a need. This was an unreached place. There were no churches in Spain. The church in Rome, I'm going to stop for a while, but then I'm off. I need to reach Spain. I need to take the gospel there. There's people there that haven't heard about Jesus, that are facing an eternity without him, an eternity in God's judgment. I need to go. Gospel priority is to be pioneering, reaching new people. As a church, we need to keep this in view. Where are the people that haven't heard, that need to hear? How can we help? Where might we go? It's one of the things that excites me about Edward's work in Moldova. Rural villages, forgotten pockets of Europe. No gospel witness. And he's prepared to go. Try and establish a church plant in these areas. We support Darren and Ruthie with SIM, and their strapline, which I've shared with you before, is I think really helpful. SIM as a mission organization say this: no one should live and die without hearing God's good news. It's right, isn't it? That's a loving thing to think. No one should live and die without hearing God's good news, because there is no other way to be saved. It's challenging for us, isn't it? People that God has placed us amongst. Do they know? That colleague at work? A person who lives next door or next door but one? God has put you there. parts of the UK. Now, post-Christian. Pockets of this country where there's no gospel witness. Where might we help and connect with and reach? Where might we go? And still parts of this world where the gospel hasn't reached. Where might we go? Would you be prepared to go? You know, it's right that we've been involved in planting churches before. It might be right for us to do that again. Maybe sooner than we think. To go. It's right that we supported Luke and Megan to go and join with a small church plant on the edge of Oxford Village. To go. In a couple of weeks' time, we hope, God willing, that Phil and Jan will be with us. 30 years after they went to Brazil to help take the gospel somewhere. Who next? Might God stir our hearts that more of us might be willing to go, to take. You know, it's a normal Christian thing for us to do. It's a normal gospel thing for us to do, to go. To pioneer in new places. Third P, we don't do that alone. We do it in partnership with others. And the Apostle Paul modeled this. Proclaiming, pioneering, and partnering with others. You see, it's not a one-man band, the Apostle Paul. He's not working on his own. We're going to see that even more next week. Number of connections he has with different people, people who've partnered with him in gospel ministry. Local churches should be involved. We should be involved in mission. And Paul speaks of two partnerships in this passage. First of all, between Christians in Macedonia and Achaia and the church in Jerusalem. And then secondly, his own partnership with the church in Rome. But firstly, look at verse 25. He's not coming straight to Rome. He's got somewhere else to go first. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. Now, this is quite significant for the Apostle Paul. A Gentile church, new church, had collected money with the intention of helping and blessing the church in Jerusalem. And Paul sees that as a right logic. Verse 27, they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, which they have as they've come to hear the gospel and come to Christ, that message that came out of the Jerusalem church, so therefore there's a debt they owe them. How could they pay them back for such a great gift, the gospel? Well, the least they could do was bless them materially and send some funds back for the church in Jerusalem, which was struggling, facing difficulties. They understood the idea of partnership. Brought into God's family, there's a care and concern for one another, which is right. We've seen that over the last few chapters. But that care and concern isn't just for us as a church. We ought to be thinking of other churches elsewhere that we might partner with or help or bless or support. It's been interesting to hear of churches in richer parts of the country seeking to support financially churches in poorer parts of this country. That's a good and right thing to do. Perhaps something we ought to do in Cheam. Chris is preaching at Banstead Community Church this morning, and they've got a link with a church up in the northeast. Banstead in wealthy southeast London. Sending funds and partnering with a church in a very deprived part of Sunderland. But it's not just churches partnering. The Apostle Paul recognizes he needs the partnership, and that's why he's going to the church in Rome. He hopes to be a blessing to them, verse 29. But he also hopes to receive from them assistance, verse 24. Do you see that? That might be financial. It might well be people. Paul would often do that. Will you come with me as I go here? Took Timothy along with him, Luke along with him, Titus along with him, others. Come and join me in this mission as we go and take this good news to people who haven't heard it yet. And he hopes to receive refreshment in their company. Do you see that in verses 24 and verse 32? Refreshment to then go again. Proclaim, pioneer, partner. Can you guess the last P? You should. Prayer. Before we get to that, just come back with me to verse 14. Paul has spoken that he expects to be refreshed as he joins the church in Rome. He's written quite a strong letter to them, lots of things he's wanted to say. But look at verse 14, look at the warmth. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Is that how we think of one another? Is that how I think of you? Should be. Full of goodness. Doing good things, good works, living God's way. Filled with knowledge. Able and competent to instruct one another. It's Paul's encouragement to the church in Rome. Eugene Baptist Church. Yes, we've got lots to keep learning and growing in, but we are blessed. Signs of God's grace and work amongst us. God is at work. Last P, and it's a double actually. Prayer. Prayer with passion. Look at verse 30. I urge you. That is strong. I bet you've not said that to many people this week. Something you really need, really want, something that's really important. I urge you. And it ramps up a bit more from there. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. This is really important. You need to listen to this. I need this, says the Apostle Paul. I urge you to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. There's two aspects of the struggle, I think, that's being picked up here. One is struggle in ministry. Ministry is hard. Faces opposition. Persecution. He needed God's help to keep going. Pray for me. And praying is hard. The struggle of prayer. Wrestle with the Lord for me, with me. Pray, verse 31, that I be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there. There's risks for Paul. Dangers in going back to Jerusalem. Pray that I might come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. Our prayer for mission and ministry is really key. Gospel work is a spiritual battle. We must pray. We must pray for our individual witness. We must pray for our collective outreach ministries. We must pray for those that we support elsewhere. We must pray that the Lord would raise up more workers for the harvest fields. We must pray. So let me rephrase verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to join me in prayer on Sunday evenings. It's when we're praying. And if you can't make Sunday evenings, Tuesday lunchtimes. That we might wrestle together, that the Lord would be at work through all that we're seeking to do on our own and together, and that those that we support elsewhere, that the gospel would go out, that people would hear and be saved. We need to pray. More people in Cheam would hear the gospel and be saved. Your colleague, your neighbour, your friend, that person overseas would be saved.